Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to have you listening today. I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heighten your awareness of God's very real presence in your life. Hope you had a really great weekend. Well, my good friend Liz Curtis-Higgs joins me today. She joins us every month to bring the Scriptures alive. She'll take stories from Scripture, bring them to life for us so we can apply them to our everyday lives. We both just love that the Word of God is living and breathing and active and powerful. I got to say, nobody unpacks a story quite like my friend Liz. And so she's chosen Phoebe and Priscilla. She says she promises to talk about the men as well. But you know what? We can learn from each other. So guys, you know what? We can learn. You guys can learn from these gals. I know you know that. And we can learn from some of the great men of Scripture. I can't wait to hear what Lizzie has to say about these two women. Quick announcement first. We've got our upcoming Writers Conference. It's coming up July 12th and 13th. If you've not signed up yet and you even have the slightest inkling about being published, you got to join us. We have an amazing lineup of editors, agents, and experts, and we want you there. Wouldn't be the same without you. You can find more information on the homepage of our website at myfaithradio.com. I'll be there. I'll look forward to meeting you face to face. Hope you can join us. Well, Liz Curtis-Higgs really needs no introduction, but I'll introduce her just the same. She's a best-selling author whose books have sold millions of copies. That just makes my brain explode every time I think about it. She's an award-winning speaker, a former radio DJ, and a woman who brings God's Word to life. Honored to have her with us today. Dear Lizzie, happy Monday. Welcome to the show.
Woohoo! And June. Love the month of June. It's just so pretty. At least here in Louisville, anyway, we're not into the deep heat yet, and everything's blooming. Oh, it's just the best.
I feel the same way. Okay, before we dig into the people that you decided to talk about today, let's talk Scripture. What'd you choose for a verse today?
Oh, a favorite, 1 Peter 4:10. It simply says, each of you, that's our fully inclusive guys and gals verse, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Don't you love the thought of God's grace coming to us in various forms through various talents? So often in the body of Christ, we compare. Okay, maybe I just shouldn't blame the entire body of Christ and say Lizzie compares. You know, and I see the gift that someone else has, and it's like, Lord, why didn't I get that gift? Well, that's not what we're supposed to be doing, is comparing gifts. The idea is that we receive the gift, whatever God has given us, and we use it, this is the biggie, to serve others. Not to self-serve and not to shine a spotlight on ourselves. But whatever gifts we have, it's all about being a good steward, and that means serving other people, showing God's grace in its various forms. And so what a call that is, really, for all of us, male, female, old, young, new in the faith, old-timer. We have to figure out what our gift is, and other people usually can help us do that. They may see it in us better than other people. You know, Susie, I've called myself an encourager for, I don't know, 35 years. But that wasn't my idea. That was audience people coming to me and saying, you're so encouraging. And so I decided, well, I guess I have the gift of encouragement. And so that's what I look forward to using. But other people help us sometimes see whatever gift God has given us, but we use it to serve others. And the people we're going to talk about in Scripture today are great examples of that. They were given gifts, and they use them to serve others. And because of that, Paul praises them. I'm just going to say this up front. Paul takes a lot of heat for not being perhaps as sensitive to the many gifts that women have. How shall we put it that way? Is that good? Mm-hmm. And yet here he is. As we will see in Romans 16, praising these women whom he has entrusted the gospel. He has given them opportunities to serve, to use their gifts, to serve others, to be faithful stewards. And he just praises them. I think in amidst all of Romans 16, it's some women, some men, some women, some men. And that just tells us that he was much more equal-minded, I think, than we ever give him credit for. I am on Team Paul. Unlike, I have to be honest, some of my other female teachers, I think Paul's just fine because God certainly did and used him. And so, I think we can follow him through all the times he speaks to us in God's Word. You get a bigger picture of Paul, and he certainly was gung-ho about women.
Wow. You know, I was thinking with that verse that you opened up with, I'm thinking somebody's even listening today who's despairing because they've been comparing their gifts with someone else's. Would you say maybe the best remedy for that would be to go out and use your gift rather than despairing that you don't have that gift? Take your eyes off of that gift that someone else has and go and use what you have to help somebody else. It seems like that would be a great answer.
Sure. Well, and I love your despairing by comparing. Beautiful rhyme there, just to help me remember. That's what happens is when we compare, we're going to always despair. But God never asks us to look to the left or to look to the right to see what other people are doing. We look to him and we say, Lord, what can I do for you today? And even if we aren't sure what our gift is, honestly, if you will simply move forward in what you love to do most, you can trust that. That love to do, that's not selfish. That's the Holy Spirit working in you, putting that desire in your heart. And so just do it. And if you see fruit from it, that will be just further confirmation. This is God working through you. And if you can delight in those things that you get to do, that you love to do for his glory and for the joy of other people, honestly, there's just no better way to live. There really isn't. Please notice that there was no mention of money in any of that. Because sometimes, this breaks my heart, but in ministry, even just local, do things for your church kind of ministry, sometimes the financial benefit comes into play. And those who are extra gifted seem to get extra money or extra blessings or extra this or extra that. That is not mentioned at all in this scripture. It doesn't say anywhere, and you will be financially blessed for doing this. But you will be blessed. Your heart will be full. Having walked through a journey of depression, and technically I'm still there, Susie, because I'm still on medication and have been for 5 years. Thank you, Lord, for fluoxetine. But that tiny little 10 milligrams makes a big difference. But what I've learned through the process before I was diagnosed and was just dealing with the depression, about the only way out of it for me was to move in my gifts, to do for others, whether I felt like it or not, whether I thought there was going to be any, quote, reward for me or not, whether I thought, you know, the angels are going to start clapping. You just can't think about any of that. It's what can I do for other people? That was the one thing that would lift my heart. And, of course, that's still true today. But it's always the advice I offer to people who are despairing, actually, about anything. Not just despairing about their giftedness or lack thereof, but they're just in a place of despair. Usually it's because we're circling around ourselves. Again, this is not a judgment piece, so been there, so fight it daily. We're circling around ourselves instead of looking up and instead of moving forward. So God gives us this way to do it, and I think if we can trust him and step out, we'll be delighted to find out what he can do.
Boy, that's good. Well, set us up. You wanted to talk about Priscilla and Phoebe, and I teased you before the show that only you could come up with two full sermons on, you know, women that we only have a few verses on. But tell us about them and what you know about them, why you wanted to talk about them.
Oh, sure. Well, I want to talk about them because they're in the Word. I think we always have to pay attention to named people. Now, that doesn't mean that if you don't have a name mentioned in Scripture, your story isn't important. Nothing could be farther from the truth. The woman at the well may not be given a name, but she's definitely a real person with a real story. But when someone is named, it does make us kind of sit up and say, oh, so important. So I wonder why. And so these women are named, as are, of course, hundreds of others of men and women in the Bible. So that alone makes them worthy of study. And I will confess to you, Susie, when I look at a big story, like David, I'm like overwhelmed. Where would you start to understand the big story of David? You just give me someone who's got a couple verses. I am so good with that because in a short amount of time, we can learn a lot about them. So Romans 16, 1 through 5 is where we're going to hang out today and meet two first century servant leaders. So this is post-resurrection. Paul is off on his missionary journeys, and the church is growing. In many ways, this is almost the most applicable material for us in the church today, because this is how churches grow, and it teaches us something we can apply immediately, whatever level we serve in our churches, even if we serve by faithfully showing up and worshiping. But they have lots to teach us by example. So the first one is Phoebe. Her name means pure and bright and radiant as the moon. And in fact, she shares her name with Artemis, the moon goddess of the Greeks, because apparently Artemis was her nickname. Can you imagine a goddess having a nickname? Was Phoebe. So they both mean light, radiance, moon, except our Phoebe, she shines for the light of the world. She is what I call a Jesus girl. She is a woman of faith who walks her talk and is praised by Paul. That means we need to pay attention. If you are, dear listeners, Lutheran, Episcopalian, or Catholic, you know her as Saint Phoebe, which again tells us how truly important a woman she is in the church body, in the big picture. So, letter to Romans. Paul wrote it from Corinth. We're talking about 56-58 A.D., give or take. He's on his third missionary journey, so we're near the end of Paul's work. This is what's amazing to me. So you think about the book of Romans. Of course, it started out as a letter. Most scholars of Christian history agree that Paul gave this very important letter to Phoebe to deliver to the church at Rome. Just get your head around that for a second. You've written the book of Romans. Of course, Paul's just thinking it's a good long letter. We know that so much of what we understand about the faith is built on the book of Romans. I know you're coming up on a break, Susie, because when we come back, I just want to touch on a handful of verses from Romans that rock our world every day.
This is how you know Lizzie has been on this show lots of times. She knows our clock. Lizzie, you can come in and host this show for me if you want someday.
No. All right. Too much, my dear.
Oh, you're so sweet. We're going to pause here talking to Liz Curtis Higgs. And if you've got questions as we go along about Phoebe and Priscilla, text them in. Love to hear from you. 877-933-2484 or email middays@myfaithradio.com. More with Liz Curtis Higgs when we return. Let that song play a little bit. Fearless. We talked about fear last week, and we assembled some songs on fear. He's a fairly new artist, and he reached out to me on Facebook, and I checked out his song, and I loved it. That's Alan Scott with Fearless. I'm Susie Larson. Welcome to Middays, talking to my friend Liz Curtis Higgs about Phoebe and Priscilla. So take it from here. Tell us more about what you've learned about these two amazing women. Phoebe, I think, first.
Right, Phoebe. Well, we were talking about, and she's described to us in Romans 16:1. And the scholars agree that she was the person who carried the book of Romans, the letter to the people of Rome, the church at Rome, from Corinth, where Paul was, to Rome. So this tells us that Paul entrusted a woman, and we'll figure out why that is in just a second. But I want us to pause and think about the book of Romans. There is so much truth. What if this letter had not made it? Of course, it would have. It was God's will that it would. But just think about what we know from Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Or Romans 8:28. Most people could say it by memory. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who've been called according to his purpose. Or Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship. Romans 5:8, Susie is my life verse. But, of course, starts with my favorite word, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Such truths, and there are hundreds of them. I decided to, you know, just Google most popular verses in Romans, and there's like 300 of them because people so appreciate what this book of the Bible has to teach us. And so in Romans 16, in concluding his letter to the Romans, Paul is describing to them the woman who is carrying the letter. What does this tell us about Phoebe? He obviously valued and trusted her character. She was powerful enough to handle the responsibility. She was confident enough to command respect when she got there. She was strong enough to represent him. And this is another part we know, even without it being stated in Scripture, she was wealthy enough to manage the journey. She was probably unmarried. And how do we know that? Because there's no mention of her husband. It's so dangerous to read into things that aren't in Scripture. I grew up with the teaching where the Bible speaks, we speak, and where the Bible is silent, we're silent. So we do not know for a fact that she wasn't married. However, in that time and place, and particularly in Scripture, if she had a husband, he would have been mentioned and probably would have been with her. So there is no mention of a husband or children, which makes her an independently wealthy woman, very unusual for her time. Not unusual for our time, but very much so for her time. So Romans 16:1, Paul introduces her to the Christians in Rome, and here's what he says. Romans 16:1, I commend to you. Also translated, I have good things to say about. I heartily endorse both her and her work. I want you to know that you can trust her. So Paul has put his stamp of approval on this woman. And that's smart because they've heard of Paul. Phoebe, they don't know. But they've heard of Paul. And if Paul says she's good, she's good. It's a letter of recommendation, as it were. And then he calls her our sister Phoebe. Our sister in Christ, our friend, but it's ours. He doesn't say, how about meeting my friend, Phoebe? He's already calling her our friend, mine and yours. He wanted Paul to receive this woman as a sister, even though they'd not met her before. She's part of the same family, which reminds me, Susie, of the reality that in the church, we are all brothers and sisters. I have to say this, it does not matter the name over the door of the church we walk into. If it is a church where Christ is held up as Savior and his word is honored, we're brothers and sisters. We're family. Sadly, we seem to have more family squabbles than we do family reunions, which kind of breaks my heart. I think one of the real joys for me as a speaker is I get to walk through the doors of many, many different kinds of churches, Protestant churches, Catholic churches, and I see what we have in common. What we have that's not in common is small and in many cases minor. What we have in common is huge. If Christ is lifted up and his word is honored, you know, we're like 99% of the way there. We are family. Even in a real family, an earthly family, everybody doesn't look the same and everybody doesn't agree on everything. But you can never take away the blood relationship of a family. And our family, friends, is the body of Christ. We are all covered in the same blood, all of us. One faith, one hope, one baptism. Just have to say that because I'm seeing so much online these days of the body tearing limbs and legs off other believers, and we are in the same body. And Paul is saying that about Phoebe.
I was going to say, I've mentioned that several times on the show just because I share that burden with you. And to think that there's this remnant of believers in these different Bible-believing denominations that we'll be around the table together, and we can't make blanket statements, and we can't think we own the corner on the truth. And if we could walk with humility and unity with other Bible-believing Christians, the world would really notice that, wouldn't they?
Well, yeah, they would. We'd actually be how God would change the world. But we're just really good at those family squabbles. And sometimes you just have to throw your arms up and say, come quickly, Lord Jesus, because short of his return, I'm not sure I see any solution for some of our family problems. But getting on with Phoebe, so she is our sister. Paul wants everybody to understand that. This is yours and my sister. Then he gives her a title. She's a deacon. Okay, I know there's some people going to flip out of that, drive the car off the road. It just says deacon. Also translated deaconess, because she's a woman. Also translated someone who's in the ministry, a special servant, a leader, a helper, a key representative, a ministrant. She serves. That's what it means, to serve. And Timothy tells us deacons are to be worthy of respect. So that's the main thing we need to know about Phoebe. Paul is saying, please respect her. She has an important role in our church, and that role is called deacon. One of the translations calls her the Messianic Shamash. There's a mouthful. In other words, a Christian Shamash. It's a Hebrew word that means, again, servant. In the Jewish community, it was the person who managed the synagogue facilities, kept things running, conducted prayer, sometimes led the worship services. The point is, it's a valued role. At the church in Cenchreae, that's near port city near Corinth. So that's where she's from. That's her role there. The church there, the assembly, the congregation, God's community, that is her home church. And Paul is telling them all about that. So far, we covered one verse, Susie. I promise we'll go a little faster. But look how rich, so rich, God's word. You know, you were sweet to say that I bring it alive, but you and I both know the word is alive. It doesn't need any help from any of us. It's alive. We just have to dive in and say, what do each of these words mean, and what do they tell us about what's going on? So Paul has now introduced Phoebe to the church at Rome, telling them she's an important leader in her church here. And then he says, I ask you to receive her in the Lord. Also translated, embrace her with honor, with love and hospitality. Accept her in the Lord with a Christian welcome. So his esteem for her is just really strong. And he wants them to receive her in a way worthy of his people, as becometh his saints. I love any time you can dip into the King James. As God's people ought to receive one another, worthy of the holy ones, as fitting for one who belongs to the Lord and is set apart for him. Just imagine if we did that, if we treated one another in that way. I hate to point at any one social media, but the one that weighs heaviest on my heart these days is Twitter. And I think it's the shortness and the brevity and the ease in which people can send volleys at one another. As I scroll through and I see believers taking to task other believers for such small things, friends, such minor things. Such misunderstandings that need a big measure of grace, love, and mercy to cover. Friends, can we please be the church? Please.
Amen. Got a pause here. Got a question from a listener as well. Hang with us, friends. More with Liz Curtis Higgs in just a moment.
Just haven't seen it yet. Here comes the-
Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to my friend Liz Curtis Higgs today. She joins us every month to look at characters, people, not characters, true people from Scripture and explore their story, unpack it so that we can see what we can learn from them. Today we're talking about Phoebe, and if there's time, we'll get to Priscilla as well. Couple quick questions for you, Liz, before we move on here. One said, Terry writes in, he says, so much godly wisdom whenever Liz is featured on the program. Question is, would there be any indication that Phoebe had an official Roman title, considering the great responsibility she had? What do you say?
Well, wouldn't I love to know that? There is not any shown in Scripture, and so I can't, you know, I can't offer that. She does not come from Rome. She comes from this port city near Corinth, but so I don't think she would have had a title in Rome. As Paul, of course, expounds on all the ways that he is worthy, she doesn't have that. Coming from Corinth. But thanks for the kind word, by the way.
Yeah, very much. Okay, Haley says, hello, gals. I was just pondering how God made his selection in those days, these chosen women to carry out his will. I've often thought these were sinful men and women as we are. Were they just so inclined to God's voice in those days without the noise of today's life clutter? So not more holier than us believers in this day, but rather not as desensitized as we are. He who has ears, let him hear. What do you say?
Wow. Great point, and obviously a student of the Word. There's no question that we suffer from more distractions, or so it feels, than any generation before us. But you know what's interesting? I've taught on Martha before. We all love Martha. But what it says of her is that she was distracted. And it is that same word that we would use today, also translated overly involved and too busy. So I think they had just as many ways to be distracted, pulled off the path of faith, but they do stand out as shining examples, as people do today. And I don't just mean the people that we've all heard of. I'm talking about those saints who are quietly using their gifts to honor God. Nobody's clapping. Their name is not being added to the walls of any sanctuaries. They're not going to have a stained glass window put up for them. But these are God's servants. And again, we come back to that word deacon. It just means servant. But it is one worthy of, as Timothy said, worthy of respect. So I love the question. Of course, they were sinners. There's only one perfect person in the whole of God's word, and that would be Jesus. The rest of us are all flawed. And yet God uses us because actually he has no other choice. He has to use flawed people because that's all there is here. And so so thank the Lord that he does, and that he enables us by his Holy Spirit to do good things even beyond, I think, our own ability or our own, as it were, righteousness. Our righteousness, filthy rags, his righteousness, pretty incredible.
Well, you think of, I'm sorry, I was going to say, you think of David, you think of others who've gone before who clearly had issues, but Tozer said when he looked at why God used some and not others, he identified it as spiritual receptivity. They cultivated a listening life, and when God spoke, they did something about it, and I think that's really worth considering for all of us, you know?
Absolutely. Rightly so, and here's our Phoebe, who would have definitely taken this book of Romans from Paul, this letter to Rome, but a very long letter, 16 chapters, it's a long one, and poured his heart into it. It is so living and active, like a double-edged sword, the book of Romans. And so it was going to change Rome as it is changing lives today. And he entrusted it to this woman. And he says to the people of Rome, give her any help she may need from you. Also translated, stand by her. Give her whatever practical assistance she may need. She deserves anything you can do for her. Then he explains why. For she has been the benefactor of many people. So benefactor, it means a sponsor or a patron. And it comes from a Greek word as the one who stands by in the case of need. Very specifically, if you were going to run in the Olympic Games or compete in any way as an athlete, this is the person, your sponsor, your patron, who stood by you to see that you were properly trained, that you were lined up for the signal that you were rightly girded, great phrase, dressed right, your uniform is appropriate. That person, that's who Phoebe is. She is a champion for the people. Not champion as in winner, she champions others. That's what she does. She has spent her energy and resources helping others. The Amplified, though, adds a little to that, shielding us from suffering. So she has taken care of people, and then Paul says these fascinating last two words, including me. So Phoebe has not only been an encourager, obviously, to Paul and a servant in her church, but she has been a sponsor. She has stood by. She has financially provided for. She has been that even for me, Paul says. I am blessed to have her as my benefactor as well. So Paul's called Phoebe a deacon of the church and a patron of many. She is the only, this is the only time in the New Testament when a woman is given those two distinctions. So haven't we learned in our first 40 minutes a lot about this woman named Phoebe that most of us, if you know, you held a gun to her head and said, who is Phoebe and what did she do? I mean, I'm right there with you. Until I studied her, I didn't know either. What a woman of God, quietly doing one very important thing, delivering a letter to the church at Rome. Incredible.
And that didn't happen overnight. I would imagine 1,000 lesser, smaller, hidden choices of consistency of character are what really prepared her for that great day. You know, I think so many times, Lizzie, we're holding out for the big break. We're holding out for management. We won't take any job till we get management. You know what I mean? And yet, it's the faithfulness and the little things that really prepared her for the big thing.
No question, and that is such a wise insight, Susie, because it is true. I'm sure you've had the same experience as a speaker, but I'll finish speaking to, you know, a big audience, several thousand people, and somebody will come and say, I want to do what you do. And I'm like, that's fantastic, but you're probably not going to start in this room. You know, because they kind of want to like speak next weekend. And it's like, well, beloved, how much speaking are you doing now? Oh, well, I haven't done any yet, but I want to do what you do. Well, Phoebe exactly would have been the kind of woman who didn't say, how can I be entrusted with the letter to the Romans? That wasn't her goal. Her goal was to serve and to serve and to serve and to serve until Paul saw her gifts, saw her trustworthiness, and then used her. So right. It's so right. Everything that we do, and I hope I didn't come off as like having all the answers on that one. I just know that for all of us who serve him, it always starts in teeny tiny ways, never seen, and with the understanding it might never be seen by man. It will always be seen by God.
Very good. All right. You did it. 40 minutes. Few verses.
Ooh, okay.
Now we got Priscilla.
We do have Priscilla. And her story, I think, is a little bit more familiar. But I certainly want to touch on her because she comes hand in hand with her husband. She is the next verse in Romans 16. Paul says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus, my fellow workers, my fellow helpers who've worked hand in hand with me. The voice says they're not only my colleagues in my profession of tent making, but more importantly, they're my fellow servants of Jesus the Anointed. So a whole lot of bio there in that little bit. Priscilla and Aquila were tent makers, and Paul worked with them for a long time. They worked a long stretch of time together, and so they were good friends, and he knew them well. Romans 16:4 says, they risked their lives for me. They laid down their own necks, is the literal. They faced death for my sake. They put their lives on the line. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. All the Gentile churches owe them a great debt. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to back up here. Tell me, when did they lay their lives down for you? What did that look like? So you have to back up to Acts when they met. Paul met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who'd recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Actually, her formal name is Prisca, but everybody who knew her well called her Priscilla. It means, by the way, ancient. I don't know if I'd want my name to mean ancient, but it means a good thing for her. It meant she came from a respected family. So Priscilla, unlike Phoebe, who gets that one shot, Priscilla is mentioned 6 times in the New Testament, always with her husband. So Priscilla is never mentioned without Aquila. But interestingly, Aquila is never mentioned without Priscilla. So they are partners in life, partners in work, partners in faith. Interestingly, just a sidebar, she's mentioned first 4 out of the 6 times. It's unusual, to be really honest, that she's mentioned by name at all. It could have said Aquila and his wife. But it's Priscilla and Aquila. Spurgeon said she was first in energy of character and attainments of grace with a stronger mind in the things of God. Wow. A man said that in the 19th century, just a heads up. But doesn't this reference back to our caller who said, were these people who just were able to hear the voice of God more clearly? And that would be definitely Priscilla. So she and her husband left Rome because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. That's what Acts 18:2 tells us. We're around 49 AD when this happened. Paul went to see him. He went to their house. Their reputation as believers was well known, and so was their occupation as tent makers. And so, because he was of the same craft, they worked together. I love the fact that they met first because of their profession. The people who led me to Jesus, and of course he calls us unto himself, it's not their work, but nonetheless, the people God used were people who worked with me. I think sometimes at our jobs, we forget that the most likely people that we could lead to the Lord, despite evidence to the contrary, might be that person across the desk, in the next cubicle, down the row, somebody close by, because you already have this really important thing in common, you work together. So, and of course, the beautiful thing about tent making is you can do it anywhere. The people who did it, they did it in Rome, and they just moved their business, and they were able to build tents anywhere. Paul stayed, and he worked with them. He also lodged with them, so like he moved in, and they worked together, so they were together all day and all evening. Wow, that's just a whole lot of close time. Bill and I have been working together for, 1995. So that's a long time, 24 years. And I haven't killed each other yet, Susie. It's just incredible. But, you know, when you work together all the time and you live together all the time, the potential is there for incredible challenges, differences of opinion, differences of ways of doing things, even how you do housekeeping. But apparently these two work together very well with one another and with their brother Paul. Every Sabbath, Paul reasoned in the synagogue. I love this. So he would go to the synagogue and try to persuade the Jews and the Greeks who were busy worshiping their Greek gods that they needed to put their focus on Jesus. And he stayed in Corinth for some time, a good long time, a year and a half, actually, living at Priscilla and Aquila's house, enjoying their hospitality. A year and a half, 18 months for a house guest. Maybe we want to think about that one during the break, and we'll come back. I just don't know about 18 months of having a house guest that also works with you, a coworker, a co-laborer, and under your same roof. It tells us a great deal about Priscilla.
Very good. We're going to pause here then. Talking to Liz Curtis Higgs. Again, we welcome questions, comments. You can text or email 877-933-2484 or email middays@myfaithradio.com. More with my friend Liz Curtis Higgs in just a moment. That That song always, always puts a spring in my step. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to Liz Curtis-Higgs. She joins us every month to explore different stories in Scripture where we can learn from these dear souls who've gone before us that we read about in Scripture. We've been talking about Phoebe and Priscilla. We're on Priscilla now, and you're talking about that time where Paul stayed in their home as tent makers and just fellow believers for a full 18 months. Okay, take it from there.
It's just a long time to have a house guest. I will tell you this, Susie, because we are good friends. If you ever come to Louisville to spend time with me, and of course you know I'd love that, but I just tell people you got 3 days and three nights here because there are three homemade dishes I can make that really will knock your socks off. I have a killer lasagna, a pork Dijon, and a grilled cheese sandwich with homemade soup. And after that,
perfect.
You have to leave.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to leave because otherwise we're going to back up to lasagna and probably actually leftover lasagna by that point. So here
good.
We have Priscilla, who has gifts as a tent maker, also as a woman of hospitality, even if she's not the one physically doing the cooking, because this is a successful couple. No doubt she has people working for her. But she still is running the show, making sure this household ticks. And it's not just the household with the three people, because Romans 16:5 says, greet also the church that meets at their house, all those who meet to worship in their home, the church that meets in the house of Priscilla and Aquila. So, just to add another layer, and I want you to think about where they worked. You worked with leather in making tents. You'd need a pretty big space to do it, to get things stretched out and everything right before you send your tents off on their way. So they had a big space, perfect for having church. I just love how God works. He taps people who not only have a certain gifting, he even makes sure they have the right physical setup to be able to serve him well. And so there you go. That's that. Now, I'd love to pop over. You don't have this in your notes, but I do, of the story that probably Priscilla is best known for. They follow Paul to Ephesus, and then Paul goes on, but they stay.
I have this story in my notes. I was going to ask you about it. Keep going. I'm sorry, but I was going to ask you because I felt like this is so important. Just it shows a model of their character, but please keep going.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Acts 18:24. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. So he was born in Alexandria, Egypt, the intellectual and cultural center of the ancient world. He, the Bible tells us, was a learned man, deep, profound, erudite, keen, eloquent, cultured. We have the picture. He's well-dressed. He's well-spoken. In fact, Apollos might be one of those kind of people that would intimidate us if they walked in a room. The scripture says he's a very good speaker, a Torah scholar. He spoke with power. Acts 18:24 goes on. He had a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. I love this. The Young's Literal says he was mighty in the writings. Oof, I would love to have that said. He was mighty in the writings. So this is a man who knows the word. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, Acts 18:25 says. He was well educated in the way of the master, and he spoke with great fervor. So this is that guy who looks the part, sounds the part, knows his stuff, and he's fiery in his enthusiasm, as the message says. He was burning with spiritual zeal. He spoke as one stirred up by the Spirit. And he taught about Jesus accurately. So he spoke and he taught. He taught correctly the facts about Jesus. The CEV says what he taught about Jesus was right, but there was a problem. He knew only the baptism of John. Apollos was accurate in everything he taught about Jesus up to a point, but he only went as far as the baptism of John, which was, of course, repent, repent, be baptized for your sins. He doesn't know the whole story. But what he did know, he preached. I think that's pretty amazing because God did not hold Apollos back from preaching what he knew to the best of his ability, the best of his knowledge, and the strength of his calling. Sometimes we don't want to serve God because we're afraid we haven't got it all right. I think we need to trust the Holy Spirit to come in and, as it were, correct us when needed, because that's exactly what happens here.
Well, Lizzie, we're also not very kind to those who are in process. There seems to be no grace these days for anybody. Yet you hear people who are more seasoned in the faith saying, man, you know, when I first started out, I thought this verse meant this, but now I understand it to mean this. Wow,
absolutely.
If we could make some allowances for each other, you know?
For sure. Oh, yes. There's a reason that I asked all my books written in the early 90s be taken out of print. There is a reason, friends, because I was so young in the faith. And yet, look how good God was. He allowed me to write them, publish them, learn from them, and understand what I needed to do better. So it's okay. Just do it, friends. Do what God calls you to do. So here's Apollos. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, with confidence, boldly, fearlessly. It was a powerful sermon. And when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, so you picture them out in the pews, as it were, listening, they were there, hearing Apollos speak, they discerned both his gift and his lack of full understanding. So they did the most loving, Christ-honoring thing. They did not shoot off a tweet. They did not, you know, text about it. They didn't publish, you know, to everybody in the church, or they didn't stand up and say, that's wrong, shut this guy up. Nope, they invited him to their home. They took him aside. They met with him privately. So they didn't call him out in the synagogue. That would have been unkind and not good for the gospel, because those who were not yet believers sitting in the congregation would have been confused. Here's this guy speaking powerfully truth, and here are these other Christians in the back complaining it's not truth. But that's not how God wants us to do it. Priscilla and Aquila show us the way. They explain to him the way of God more adequately, in fuller detail, more perfectly. They didn't chastise him for what he got wrong. They helped him see what he needed to learn that was right. And so then Apollos went on to southern Greece and was preaching, and everybody in Ephesus gave him their blessing. Probably no one more so than Priscilla and Aquila. His ministry was powerful and effective because this woman and her husband, teachers, took him aside and said, really good, Apollos, really powerful, but you need this extra piece about Jesus dying for our sins. Up to the baptisms of John is great, but you need to know about the fullness of the gospel and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need to know the rest of the story. And so there it is. So greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus, is what he says to us in Romans. And now we know why they were so important to the church, to Paul, and to us today, simply as role models. This husband and wife working together, serving the Lord, never seen separately, always together. It doesn't mean they spent 20, well, I guess they actually did. They worked together, they lived together, they really were together all the time. But the point is, they ministered side by side, equally powerfully, to help this very talented man get the truth even more accurately, so that he could preach the truth in its fullness. Beautiful examples of people who serve the Lord. A couple of women who start with the letter P, Phoebe and Priscilla, but to me, they speak volumes to the church today of how to speak the truth in love.
I read an article before the show that it's likely that Priscilla and Aquila were beheaded together outside the city gates, that they gave their life for the gospel. And that would seem almost consistent with just how engaged, fully all in engaged. There was no question that they were kingdom people and that they were all in, you know?
Well, absolutely. And it also, you know, ties in very strongly with Paul's suggestion that they risked their lives for him. The most we might risk is someone thinking well of us. You know, that's the danger of being bold in our faith, is someone might not think well of us. But in those days, you risked your life by holding your hand up and saying, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I call him my Lord and Savior. That was not a safe thing to say, but these people said it anyway, and indeed risked their lives. I had not heard of that. It weighs on my heart. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping we can end on a slightly more cheerful note. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it does. It says everything we need to know, that they were people who, to the end, lived their faith out. And to think of them stepping into heaven together and hearing the applause of God and being greeted by the saints who'd gone before them, it's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
Really, really is. Lizzie, thank you for the time today and for unpacking scripture for us so eloquently. We sure love and appreciate you. Thank you.
My joy.
As Lizzie was talking, I was thinking, I've got this several passages that I've put together that I pray for my husband and our kids every day, and it says, may we abound in love more and more. May we increase daily in all wisdom, knowledge, and depth of insight. May we understand the times and know what to do. May we be high discerners of your wisdom, your will, and your truth. May we walk purely and blamelessly before you, Lord, that our lives would bear the fruit of righteousness, and may we live and die with honor. That's my prayer. Maybe it's your prayer, too. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Walk intimately with the Lord. His will for you is your best-case scenario. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Suzy Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Suzy Larson.